Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby Podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, you might not think it could happen to you, but our guest this week explains how a significant number of Irish people may be falling victim to romance frauds online.
Victims can feel a misplaced sense of shame. People can blame themselves. They feel embarrassed, and so they don't want to tell family, friends. They don't want to report it to the police. In some cases, of course, the victims are already in relationships. They're married. They have an extra reason to keep that quiet.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish independent podcast.
Can Monaghan beat Dublin on Saturday? That Monaghan team versus that Dublin team and the context around those two teams on Saturday. And that's what I'm just trying to focus on, and other people for some reason don't want to get into that. They don't want to get into the sort of hard facts that actually does support a case that, that Monaghan can go up there with confidence. It's not just blind hope.
It's All-Ireland football semi-final week, and although on paper the two matches may look relatively straightforward to predict, not everyone is so sure. Welcome to the Throw-In Football Podcast. Will Slattery here, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dick Clerk and Frank Roach for our chat today. And a reminder that Breaking Ball with Philly McMahon, our new GAA video show, will be available every Saturday for the rest of the championship on independent.ie and the Indo YouTube channel. But for now, we will look towards the weekend. And on Saturday, Dublin will take on Monaghan at Croke Park, while on Sunday, defending champions Kerry face off against Derry. And we might look at Saturday's game first, Dick. And I know earlier this week, you were passionately making your case for a potential Monaghan upset in your Irish Independent column. The odds do seem to be stacked against them. Give us your argument. Why do you think Monaghan are still in with a chance?
I'd like to think I'm not just been blindly passionate. I suppose it's I'm looking for a bit of just basic objectivity on the game. You know, there's far too much commentary around the superfluous issues around modern football and the patronising about the, you know, the punching above their weight, and that detracts from actually just analyse the game. Can Monaghan beat Dublin on Saturday? That Monaghan team versus that Dublin team and the context around those two teams on Saturday. And that's what I'm just trying to focus on, and other people for some reason don't want to get into that. They don't want to get into the sort of hard facts that actually does support a case that, that Monaghan can go up there with confidence. It's not just blind hope. And, you know, pulling a few stats, like I'd ask the question, like if any other team in any other game, two teams going in, one team had won three and drawn one of the last four encounters, would be written off the way Monaghan have against Dublin. I don't think they would, but that's the reality. And that's not just, you know, Mickey Mouse games. Yeah, albeit it was league, but that's the reality. And that's not insignificant. So a lot of these Monaghan players have faced these Dublin players not once, not twice, not three times, but four times over the last 6 years. Going back any further, you're into largely a more different panel and an age profile. But the recent history shows that Monaghan have every right to face up side by side against these Dublin players with confidence, because more often than not, they've beaten them and faced them down. In some cases, quite significant games, no more so than the relegation playoff in Clones a couple of years ago. And some of these Monaghan forwards that have made the case for have actually had some of their best days in a Monaghan jersey against Dublin and sometimes in Croke Park. And there's a reason for that. It's not just luck. As I said, but Dublin do afford forwards who are willing to have a cut at them, and teams who are willing to have a bit more space than other teams might do. And Monaghan forwards have shown that they enjoy that and can relish that. And that's not to say that's going to happen, but there's enough there to say that, well, if the cards fall kindly for Monaghan and Dublin just don't hit the heights that they have, arguably just in this last second half against Mayo, because otherwise their form over the last couple of years has been anything but consistent and predictable, the odds tighten significantly. And I suppose that's what Monaghan people are going down with, that hope that that can happen. As I say, I'm around long enough and people are around long enough. Stranger things in sport have happened than that type of circumstances on Saturday.
Frank, what's your view on it? Like, as Dick mentioned there, like, Dublin's form line over the last few years under Desi Farrell has been patchy. I know they got to the semi-final both years and lost narrowly, but the build-up hasn't always been particularly smooth. But that second half against Mayo, do you expect to see that level of performance going forward? Is that Dublin back now, or is that just them hitting their straps for 35 minutes?
I'm still not entirely convinced that we can judge everything on Dublin based on that 35 minutes, because there were mitigating factors around Mayo, the form line of several what have been key Mayo players in the latter half of this championship, and potential fatigue, lots of other issues. Now, if Dublin are able to sustain that level of performance, not even for half, like if they can play like that for 50 minutes this weekend, don't think Monaghan are going to be able to stay with them long enough. But my big question mark over Dublin all this season has been, what would their reaction be if they were brought into a dark place? And by that, I mean probably the last quarter of a championship match where things aren't going their way and they're level, or maybe they're a point down. And if Monaghan can bring them into that position this weekend on Saturday, it will be really interesting to see Dublin's response. I would still expect them to come through based on the form graph of several of their team leaders definitely picked up the last day against Mayo. You could see it, the impact, the influence of James McCarthy, especially Brian Fenton in that second half. Even Kieran Kilkenny having got a bit of a jolt by not starting a knockout championship match. You know, his attitude and form when he came on late on in that game. But there has to be a level of a question mark. I mean, I was at a number of those league matches that Dick alludes to. I wasn't at the famous what became the relegation shootout last year, but I saw Monaghan beat Dublin in the league in 2018, albeit it was a bit of a dead rubber. Dublin were already in the league final. But, you know, they stuck with them in a game that it looked like they were going to lose for a long time. And Jack McCarron scored a wonder goal late on and they ended up winning the game. And I saw them win in 2019 in Clonus, and they probably should have beaten Dublin in Clonus in 2017 as well. So several of the Monaghan players have produced exceptional form in the past against Dublin, no one more so than Jack McCarron. So it'll be really interesting to see whether they can do that in a knockout championship game. Monaghan weren't able to do it in 2014, 2017. That was a different era, different Dublin team, really, than what we have now. But it would be great to see a match that, you know, is a contest for the most part, because we went into the quarterfinal weekend. I especially was looking forward to a couple of real humdingers, and for the most part, we were kind of let down. So I'm hopeful. I'm not convinced it will happen, but I'm hopeful that we'll have a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah, and Dick, like, if we are to get that contest that Frank is hoping for, you know, how do you see the game playing out? Like, what sort of scoreline do you envisage it being if Monaghan do produce a famous victory? It's unlikely you would have thought to be 219 to 218. Like, what kind of game do you see happening if Monaghan do get either winning a big match or even making it a really good contest?
Yeah, well, I think it's the way the modern game has gone, even with a more defensive, conservative approaches, the score lines are still generally up in the mid-teens. Even in poor games, they can end up like it, and I don't think this game's going to be any different. I think it's going to take 16 to 20 points to win it, if not more. And it's certainly not going to be like the Armagh games. It's not going to be sort of very low single digits for a lot of it. I think it will be, so someone are going to have to score, and they're going to have players on the pitch and an approach that we can keep the scoreboard ticking. Dublin will do that. You know, even Monaghan aren't going to be, you know, it's not going to be like Donegal 2012 type. It's not going to be that. You know, Monaghan have forwards there that they need to get into the game, need to get on the ball. They have players with pace. You know, they have to play to their strengths, and they are strengths. They have to play it if they want to go out and win. And I don't expect Monaghan to change their approach a lot. They will keep it, you know, very structured, very tight when they don't have the ball, and try to break on the counter and have their line breakers like Darren Hughes, Carl O'Connell, Conor McCarthy, and try to get a spread of scores, which they do have a good spread of scores. Like, they can get scores from all over the pitch, including Rory Beggan. Like for Monaghan to win and compete, somebody like Roy Began has to have one of those games, which we have seen that he can kick two or three points that nobody else can kick. Like I don't know if you remember one of those games we referenced that Monaghan beat Dublin in Croke Park, I think it was 2-8. Rory kicked a free from like, I think it was at least 70 yards. I don't know if you remember it. It was phenomenal. It was and that's one of the things that has sort of won Monaghan games over the years, that Rory Began hits these free kicks that just other teams don't have in their locker. So they're the sort of things, these 2 and 3 points that tag on to the Monaghan scoreline that they need to have. So Rory has to be on fire. He will get those opportunities. He needs to hit all of those, you know, and they need to get Jack. Can't be locked out. Jack can't be shut out. He can't have maybe some of the games he's had this year. He has to have a game like he had against Clare or against Dublin. And Connor has to come on and deliver. So all these things do have to fall in place. I'm not saying that Monaghan have a chance if they have a below par performance. They need all the big players playing well. That's if they do, then they have a chance, because I do expect a performance from Dublin. I do expect them to give a minimum 7 or 8 out of 10 performance. So Monaghan have to hit a 9 out of 10 to compete. And if they do, I do see
Dublin 7 out of 10 not too good for Monaghan.
Not that Dublin 7 out of 10. Not that Dublin 7-10. 5 years ago, that Dublin 7, that player. I don't think any Monaghan player would be overly feared about a Dean Rock, who has been a phenomenal player coming off the bench. It's not like the bench that Dublin had 5 years ago. There's a lot of those Dublin players for me still don't have enough credit in the bank. And I'm talking to Colin Basquells, these boys, the Paddy Smalls, that have been there and had, but very inconsistent. So, as I say, that Dublin team, I think for Monaghan, for Duck to be a competition, for not to be a contest, the people are saying that Dublin team have to play like they did in the second half against Mayo. Anything below that, if we see the Dublin team that played against Roscommon, for instance, a couple of times this year, or played for large parts against Kildare in the Leinster Championship, that Monaghan team will compete with them all day, every day, and twice on Sundays. So Dublin need to be at their top if it's going to be a slaughter match that people think.
One of the talking points from a Dublin perspective, Frank, you alluded to it, is Kieran Kilkenny. You know, it's funny seeing him on the bench for a big match, as you mentioned, considering that even when Dublin have been patchy the last couple of years, he's been their all-star, you know, both years. You know, even in tough times, he's been, you know, pretty consistent. What do you think has happened to him this year, that his form, A, hasn't been great, and B, that Desi Farrell took the fairly drastic step of benching him was a do-or-die game? The season was on the line.
It was a drastic step, but in a way, it's been coming. I mean, I was just to remind myself there this morning, the League Division 2 final against Derry back in April. Okay, you can say Dublin were promoted, you know, mission accomplished. But Kieran Kilkenny was a late withdrawal from the starting team that day, and he only got on early on because of an injury to Dean Rock. So, you know, that was a league final in Croke Park. Kieran Kilkenny wasn't starting. Now, there was an injury issue, I think it was the Kildare match in Nolan Park where he didn't start. He started the next day against Sligo. His form has been patchy. He has probably become, or for a lot of this season, he's been probably playing a little bit too laterally, a bit too safe. He hasn't been punching holes like the Kieran Kilkenny of old. Now, when he came on the last day, I alluded to already against Mayo, he was full of energy. You can argue he's coming into a scenario where the game is effectively won, but he looked like a player who was delivering a message to his manager that I'm ready. I want to contribute here, and I want to contribute from the start the next day. So like whatever Dublin squad is announced or revealed on Friday morning, don't read anything into that. Kieran Kilkenny is going to be in the 26, and we won't know until whatever time on Saturday whether he's going to be starting or not. It's a hard judgment call to make. It wouldn't surprise me if he does start the next day, actually.
Yeah. Dick, it's a funny one. Like, for all the success Kieran Kilkenny's had, like 6 All-Stars, 7 All-Irelands, I think, he could be kind of polarizing for, I think, general GA fans. This was that deep-lying kind of point guard role, and like, he was kind of the fulcrum of Dublin's possession-based style that not everyone enjoyed watching, that even though he's had a lot of success, not everyone... I was out at the game last 2 weeks ago with a Cork fan, and he was saying, "I'm delighted he's not starting. Like, I don't have to watch him hand pass the ball left and right all day." Like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think Kieran Kilkenny can play any way he's asked to. Like, at the same time, and I remember when I was working with Sky, and covering a few of the Dublin games, and you get all the stats on the various players coming through. And I remember looking at one game, I don't know who it was, the touches. Like, that used to be a sort of a measure of a player's impact on a game. And I remember when I was playing, even in midfield, if you were getting high 20s, 30s, that means you're having a really into it. This boy was knocking out 50, 60 touches. It was phenomenal. Now, again, a lot of it was very lateral and how impactful what it was. But he was just sort of dominating the game, but in a way that wasn't particularly pleasing in the eye. But it was the way that sort of Dublin had sort of moved in terms of, you know, and I think they sort of changed when they got caught, I think as after Donegal, that they weren't going to leave themselves too open and they were going to sort of control the pace of games. And he was pivotal to that. And it worked for a number of years, and you listed all his achievements, and that's what they won on the back of it. So we can't be too critical. At the same time, you know, go back to the defeat to Kerry last year. Like, he was one of the few players that, you know, we need to break the line, we need to get this. He was doing it. So he can do that, and he can play like that. And I'd say that's probably going to be asked of him when he comes off the bench, if he doesn't start, because I think Desi and them realise that they want to get back to a wee bit more of that type of play, a wee bit more, not flamboyance, but that sort of blitz type of tack that is so difficult for teams to stick with. And it sort of probably reflected back in the last 2 years where they've fallen back, and in games that they've been a wee bit too conservative, they've left stuff out in the pitch. Whereas now, listen, we have the armoury, we've got players back, bit of energy, the likes of Paul Mannion, these guys, there's no point in having them if you're not feeding the ball in. Like, it's been kept out too, and it's allowing teams to get back behind the ball. So I think if you do see Kilkenny, I expect them to be a wee bit more direct, because we know we can do that, and with good effect, if he gets the energy in the legs. And that's the problem. Huge miles in the legs, even for a young fella. Like, he just listed off his achievements, and sometimes the energy levels just dip. You know, you don't always know what's going on with players in terms of injuries or freshness or other commitments outside. And sometimes the energy levels just dip for a while. And maybe that's where he's at the minute. But it would be very hard to be too critical of him for what he's put in over the last decade.
Jake, one thing I'd like to ask you about is the semi-final lineup itself. You know, you have Dublin have played 7 matches, 6 wins and a draw. Kerry have played 6, 5 wins and 1 loss. Derry have played 7, 5 wins and 2 draws. Monaghan have played 6, 2 wins, 2 draws and 2 defeats. So they've reached the semi-final stage, winning just a third of their games. And this is a new format. There's obviously different, you know, a league-based structure, so you don't have to win all your matches. But to get to a semi-final stage, winning just 2 of your matches, is that a benefit to the new structure, in the sense that other teams are getting an opportunity to stay longer in the tournament and maybe going on runs? Or is it a flaw that a team can get this far with only winning 2 matches?
I think in the round, you'll see in this new structure that the semi-final teams will be the top 4, if not 4 of the top 6 counties performing in the year, because there's so few easy routes to get through. I'm not an exception to that. Yeah, possibly. And I think it goes back to conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, where both Mayo and Galway, who are probably the only 2 teams that I would put ahead of Monaghan in that sort of conversation, took their eye off the ball in the last round of the groups and found themselves in the predicament that they did. Okay. So I would say on balance, Mayo and Galway were better performing teams over the course of the year, but they effect up. That's championship football. They messed up. So Monaghan have stepped into the breach. Monaghan are the next best. Monaghan, better team than Armagh, better team than Kildare, better team than all the rest, better team than Tyrone and all, on every other measure. So Monaghan are there on merit. You know, if Galway and Mayo had done their homework and prepared right, they possibly could be there in place of Monaghan. They're not. That's championship football. So I always said to somebody during the week, when you get to championship football, you don't have to be the best team to win. You just have to be the best team on the day when it matters. And Monaghan have been the best team in the games they've played when it mattered. And that's, it goes into the Sunday's game or Saturday's game, is no different. Monaghan don't have,
they're only been the best team in 2 of the 6 matches, because they drew 2 as well.
They won the ones that mattered in terms of the All-Ireland series. Okay, it didn't matter the Donegal game. If they had to win that Donegal game, they'd have won that. I'm fairly sure of that. They didn't have to win it. They were beaten by a better Derry team in Ulster, no question with that. And they wanted to win that, and they were just beaten by it. But Derry are there. So one of the games they lost is another semi-final team. Not against some also-ran county. So they were beaten by Derry, who we'll have a conversation in a minute, have every right to think they can beat Kerry. So it wasn't a defeat against a county. So I think there's a caveat to the 2 Monaghan defeats that says, well, they weren't just losses. They were losses. One, they didn't need to win. The other one, they were beaten by just a very good team on the day. So nothing lost in that. So as I say, you know, they're going into the game on pack of really two very good victories in Championship football. When the game was in the mental pot and weaker teams would have lost, Monaghan didn't. And that's a huge thing in the bank for any team. Dublin, Kerry, Derry, Tyrone, you have that in your bank. Monaghan get to the last 10 minutes and the game's in the mental pot, they'll not fear anybody because they have done that so often this year.
Frank, we might move on to that Derry-Kerry game then, and you kind of like Dublin. Kerry seemed to hit their strides finally in that quarter-final victory over Tyrone. Derry Cork has already been talked about a lot. Eamon Sweeney, I think, said it could be in the running for the most boring championship game ever played in his piece last Sunday. How are you looking at this one from the outside looking in? Is it a lot tighter than the Dublin-Monaghan one, at least the perception-wise for you?
Well, perception-wise, it's viewed as tighter, partly because Derry can be such a difficult team to break down. And also the fact that I suppose Kerry haven't played them. Really, you know what I mean? This is going to be, you know, a slightly new puzzle for Jack O'Connor to work out. So there is a level of uncertainty there about it. Kerry, no more than Dublin, have shown an upswing in form in the last, obviously the quarterfinal against Tyrone, but there were signs of it even in their Turkey shoot against Louth as well, that certain players who had not been going well this championship have found their groove. And I mean, I would put Sean O'Shea probably ahead of that queue because he didn't impress me at all in that defeat against Mayo. He looked like a player who just wasn't near the level he has been the last few years. But I think he scored 1-3 from play, 1-8 in total against Louth. But I thought he looked really, really good against Tyrone on the last day. Not just in, you know, the goal he got, the way he was there to finish it off, the 1-1. But I just thought his movement, physically, he looked on top of his game. And there were lots of other constituent parts in that Kerry performance that suggested that they are look like a team who are trying to peak when it really matters. And for teams like Dublin and Kerry, who were always probably going to get to a quarterfinal stage, it's from then on that they need to be hitting that level. So I mean, my suspicion is that Kerry will win this game, but it will be very interesting if Derry's system and some of their better players can bottle up, say, the likes of David Clifford. David Clifford had one of his poorer games against Tyrone in a game that Kerry won convincingly. I mean, I think he'd something like 6 or 7 shots from play that he missed, or was blocked down or dropped short before he finally got a score. Now, in that same game, he produced kind of the assist of the decade nearly as well. And David Clifford very rarely produces two, you know, below par performances back to back. So I'm expecting him to be better this weekend, but he may have Chrissy McCaig for company. So, you know, there's things that we haven't seen before, and it'd be very interesting to see how Kerry deal with the Derry conundrum.
Mm. You know, Chrissy McCaig had some famous battles with Dermot Connolly over the years and came out on the right side of a few of them. Dick, from a Derry perspective, like, they scored 1-6 in the All-Ireland semi-final last year, even against Cork, 1-12. Like, that's not going to be good enough, realistically, you would think, to beat Kerry. Like, what way do you think Derry will approach it? Will it be the exact same as what they've done up to now? Will there be any kind of maybe slightly more adventurous nature to the game just to get that scoreline up towards maybe 1-15, 1-16 even?
Yeah, like, I suppose I was concerned for a couple of reasons earlier in the year. They were getting a few injuries to key players, and the way that they play and operate of a very tight panel, would that sort of come against them as the year progressed? That hasn't happened. They've managed their panel well, and by and large they've been putting out their full strength team, and there's no sign of, or certainly no sense from the last two performances that like I'm talking about. You mentioned Chrissy McKay, Conor Glass, these lads, Kieran McFall have come back in. So in terms of the panel, and they do operate on a tight panel, they're probably as good a health as they can be. So, and also I thought maybe the whole issue with Rory Gallagher, that might have had a negative impact. Kieran Mina, by all accounts, has done a very good job to keep that ship together. So they're going into this game in very good shape. They're very under the radar, and everyone's talking about a Kerry-Dublin final. Whatever, but Dublin and Monaghan, and yes, even taking into account everything you've said, Dublin are still strong favourites for that game, and still for good reason. Kerry should not be strong favourites. I haven't even looked at the bookies. I'm sure they are favourites because I could easily see an upset here because of how Derry arrive into it. If Derry were going in with a few injuries to key players and all the rest, I'd be sort of have a question mark. Derry are coming into this in perfect situation, completely under the radar. Had a nice, handy game against Cork, and that they just won it at their ease. If they had to win that game better, they would have. And they've sort of bounced back from all the controversy early in the year. So they'll be looking at this. This is the opportunity for this team to get to an All-Ireland final. And they'll be looking at that. Like, they're on an aggressive wave up there. Big win with the Minors last weekend. And they'll be coming down the road with a huge amount of confidence. And, you know, as Frank touched on there, yes, Kerry, reigning All-Ireland champions. They looked impressive against Tyrone. Tyrone were very poor. Let's call a spade a spade. Tyrone didn't put up half in the resistance that Derry will. And if they can sort of limit David Clifford in the same way as Tyrone were able to, bad and all that they were, don't be surprised to see an upset. Because like, if you think about it, where Kerry won that game against Tyrone was in the midfield, which we didn't expect that they would. I do not see Conor Glass and Brenton Rodgers giving up the midfield area as easy as the Tyrone lads did. So be very interesting. I'd say this will be a very, very tough game. If Jack O'Connor can get out of that with an ugly 1-point win, doesn't matter what it is, he'll take it now because that's all they need. But they'll have to work hard to get that.
The other thing, Will, actually, is that Jack O'Connor has never gone back-to-back, and Kerry generally have struggled with this ever since the Mick O'Dwyer days. The only time Kerry have gone back-to-back in the nearly 40 years since the mid-80s is 06 and 07, and the two different managers there, like Jack has fallen at, he fell at the final hurdle in 05 against Tyrone. He was ambushed by Down, I think, in 2010. I can imagine Jack won't say it publicly, but that's probably a huge motivational factor for him as well. My mind is called back to, I think it was 2014. I remember Donegal barely struggled past Armagh in a quarter final, and everyone had them written off going in against Dublin in the semi final. Now, Donegal were former champions. You know, they had been there before. But in hindsight, it was the actual perfect preparation to go in and face a Dublin team whose eye was off the ball, really, that day. So if Kerry's eye is off the ball this weekend, if they think they've done the hard job by beating a Tyrone team that haven't been at the level for 2 years, they could be in big trouble.
Well, as I said at the
start... Frank, these Kerry players haven't that experience of back-to-back, that level of pressure. Like as I said, so few teams do it because it's so difficult. So nobody can predict how they're going to react when that pressure comes on. We know that the quality will in All-Ireland, but it's now dealing with the pressure of being All-Ireland champions and the expectation that goes with that. Also as well is, you know, you can imagine what the conversation is down in Kerry. All right, they're all looking forward now to a Dublin Kerry final, and this sort of stuff seeps in. Even though Jack O'Connor, they'll be doing their damnedest to try and keep it out of the dressing room. That's the conversation that's going around the streets. They'll not be looking at Derry. Yes, they will, but in a typical Kerry way, yarra yarra grand. Sure, your patties on the back. It's a Kerry Dublin final. These are the sort of things that, when you see upsets like that, you go back and say, "Ah, we were complacent. We were thinking." That's going to be a massive challenge for Jack O'Connor and all those players to keep two things: that level expectation as all Ireland champions, irrespective of who they're playing, but also not looking ahead to the next game. And that can drop a team by 10, 15, 20% very easily. And against a team like Derry, if they come down the road on their game, that's when they could get caught. So, as I say, it's a massive challenge for Jack O'Connor.
Well, it's set up to be an intriguing semi-final weekend, to say the least. I'd like to thank Dick and Frank for joining me for our football semi-final preview. We'll be back next Monday with a show looking back on the two semi-finals. And in the meantime, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.